This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أعاذنا الله وإياكم من النار. My dear respective brothers and sisters, it is my sunnah every year to mention this statement in the last khutbah of the month. This very profound, touching statement of Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali rahmatullahi alayhi in his wonderfully written book Lataif al-Ma'arif, when he said, كيف لا يجري للمؤمن على فراق رمضان دموع وهو لا يدري هل بقي له في عمره إليه من رجوع. How is it that the believer does not shed tears because of Ramadan about to depart, and he does not know as to whether he is going to have another opportunity to reach another month of Ramadan? My beloved brothers and sisters, we have lost a lot of loved ones with this pandemic that has struck the world in the last couple of years, the last 2 years, should I say. We lost a lot of our elders, we lost the youngers, we lost those who were extremely, extremely dear to us. If this is not a reminder to us, my beloved brothers and sisters, for us to benefit from the remaining days of the month of Ramadan, then when will we ever wake up to a reminder? When will we ever take heed? This is why, my beloved brothers and sisters, the statement of Ibn al-Jawzi rahmatullahi alayhi, which is extremely, extremely profound, should really be on the back of our minds as we continue to live in the remaining days of Ramadan, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even allows us to finish it. What did Ibn al-Jawzi rahmatullahi alayhi mention? إِنَّ الْخَيْلَ إِذَا شَارَفَتْ نِهَايَةَ الْمِضْمَارِ بَذَلَتْ قُصَارَ جُهْدِهَا لِتَفُوزَ بِالسِّبَاقِ فَلَا تَكُنِ الْخَيْلُ أَفْطَنَ مِنْكَ. When the horse reaches the finishing line, it nears to the end, what does the horse do, my beloved brothers and sisters? It exerts all of its efforts to win the race. And then look what he said, فَلَا تَكُنِ الْخَيْلُ أَفْطَرَ مِنْكَ. Don't let the horse be smarter than you. Don't let the horse be smarter than you. Meaning the horse now exerts all of its efforts as it's reaching the end of the race. We are now reaching the end of the month. Does a smart individual now really let his guard down? Does he really take his foot off the gas? Or does he exert all of his efforts? That's what a smart individual does. One of the most common questions that we are receiving on the different platforms of social media is, I feel like I have wasted my Ramadan. I feel like I haven't done much. I feel like I could have done more. Hassan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayhi, he said, أحسن فيما بقي يغفر لك ما مضى. Try to perfect that which remains, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive that which has passed. فإنك لا تدري متى تدرك رحمة الله وقد يكون ذلك في آخر ساعة من رمضان. You don't know when you will be able to acquire the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it could be in the last hour of Ramadan. However, it is down to us to really put that effort in and to really work harder, to exert whatever we can in these final days. Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi in his kitab Madarij al-Salikin, he said, أَهْلُ الْإِسْتِقَامَةِ فِي نِهَايَاتِهِمْ أَشَدُّ اجْتِهَادًا مِنْ بِدَايَاتِهِمْ. The people who are upright, they strive more, they strive much harder in the end of whatever act of worship they're doing than what they do at the beginning. So my beloved brothers and sisters, if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us about the salah, إِذَا صَلَّ أَحَدُكُمْ فَصَلِّ صَلَاةً وَدِّعٍ, when you do pray, then make sure you pray the farewell prayer. What is the farewell prayer? Is that a sixth salat? No, it's not. Meaning, make sure that you perfect it. Look at the one who's on death row. When he's given a couple of moments to do whatever he wants, that prayer that he prays, is it going to be similar to the prayers that he's normally been praying? No. He's going to make sure that he perfects it. We've been told to make our prayers like that because we might not necessarily be able to reach another prayer. And there's only what, a couple of hours? How many hours between Dhuhr and Asr? 3-4 hours? And then from Asr to Maghrib, a couple of hours. We are being told to pray it as best as we can. If that's been said about the Salah, then my beloved brothers and sisters, right? How about now? They're being 12 months between this Ramadan and the next. There's been holes in the gatherings around the iftari table. We've lost a lot of loved ones. And it's extremely, extremely painful. I have lost 3 young relatives, all under the age of 25. For those who think you have 70 or 80 years still maybe remaining, all of them under the age of 25. 2 of them were stabbed and 1 died in a car crash. I say this, not that you feel sorry for me. La wallah, their time came. La yastakhiruna anhu sa'atan wa la yastakhdimuni was written down. However, we as individuals who witness this, what do we do about it? Do we take heed? Do we take the reminder? أَوَلَمْ نُعَمِّرْكُمْ مَا يَتَذَكَّرُ فِيهِ مَنْ تَذَكَّرُ وَجَاءَكُمُ النَّذِيرُ, as Allah says. He tells us, when Allah Azza wa Jal addresses those people of regret, didn't we give you enough time to come with righteous actions, to do what you had to do? And didn't a nadir come to you? If you translate nadir literally, it means a warner. The scholars of tafsir, they had their own different interpretations with regards to what this nadir was, or what is intended by this nadir, this warner. Some of the scholars, they mention mawtul aqarib, the death of your relatives, that wakes you up from your heedlessness. When you visit that grave, my beloved brothers and sisters, and it is something that has been highly encouraged and recommended, and you're looking at this grave under your feet, your loved ones have been buried 8 feet down into the ground. What is the reason behind it? What is the objective of us visiting these graves? Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كُنْتُ نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْ زِيَارَةِ الْقُبُورِ فَزُورُوهَا. I initially prohibited you from visiting the grave. Now I say to you, go and visit it. Why? فَإِنَّهَا تُذَكِّرُكُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ. It reminds you of the hereafter. وَتُزَهِدُ فِي الدُّنْيَا. And also, as mentioned in another narration, it causes you to overlook the pleasures of this world. Wallahi, brothers, when you're standing on top of that grave and you're looking down, you're not going to be worrying about which car you want to buy 1 year down the line, or what house you want to be taking out on mortgage, or whatever other haram you want to maybe be engaging in. a year or two down the line. It gives you something called Qisar al-Amal, which basically means thinking about what's going to happen in the near future, what's going to happen tomorrow. This, my beloved brothers and sisters, is what every single one of us should really be worrying about in these remaining days that we have. This opportunity, this lifeline that Allah Azza wa Jal threw our way, that Allah Azza wa Jal has chosen for every single one of us here today. Every single year, it strikes me, wallahi, and it scares me. Before the month of Ramadan, people that we know, they depart and they leave. And they're no longer here. They didn't get the opportunity to what? Breathe in the month of Ramadan. We've been given that opportunity. Let's try, inshallah ta'ala, do something about it. أقول ما تسمعون وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على النبي المصطفى المجتبى. A very, very important point that I would like to speak about in this part of the khutbah is that which Ibn Rajab rahmatullahi alayhi made mention of when commenting on the statement of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she asked the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَرَأَيْتَ إِنْ عَلِمْتُ أَيَّ لَيْلَةٍ لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ مَا أَخُولُ فِيهَا. If I come to know when Laylatul Qadr is, what do you advise me to say? And he taught her the dua that every single one of us has memorized. Allahumma innaka afuwan tuhibbu al-afwa fa'fu anni. Oh Allah, you are afu. You love to pardon, so pardon me. Something that is extremely, extremely important that could go a very long way in us being forgiven in these remaining days of Ramadan is that which pertains to clearing our hearts. The grudges that we might hold in our hearts towards our Muslim brothers and sisters. And when I say Muslim brothers and sisters, I'm also referring to our own family relatives that we may have cut off and not spoken to for a very long time. Ibn Rajab, rahmatullahi alayhi, again in his kitab, Lataif al-Ma'arif, he says, Al-Afu min Asma'illahi ta'ala. Afu is from the names of Allah. Wa huwa yuhibbu al-Afu. And Allah loves the pardon. Wa yuhibbu li'ibadi an ya'fu ba'dhum an ba'd. He loves for his servants to forgive and pardon one another. And look what he says. Here comes the catch. فَإِذَا عَفَى بَعْضُهُمْ عَنْ بَعْضٍ عَامَنَهُمْ بِعَفْوِهِ. When they pardon and they forgive one another, it is then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to pardon and forgive them. It's something that I've been mentioning a lot in the month of Ramadan. When I think Ramadan, one of the first things that I think, my beloved brothers and sisters, is afu. We're going to be begging Allah, asking Allah Azza wa Jal, raising our hands, Ya Allah, forgive me. We want to be treated a certain way. The question is, are we ready to treat the people like that? Over sometimes the most trivial and pathetic of things, we cut people off and we don't speak to them. Isn't that so, my beloved brothers and sisters? Every now and again I hear something like, my brother is not speaking to me. You know why? I did tell him about my child getting married, but he wasn't the first to know. He knows, but he wasn't the first to know. And because of that, he's cut him off. Things as pathetic and trivial as that. And the examples are many. Family ties are broken. لا يدخل الجنة قاطعون, as the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said. The one who cuts his family ties is not going to enter into a Jannah. So we want to be forgiven. And yes, my brothers and my sisters, every single one of us wants to be forgiven. We are carrying a lot of baggage with us before the month of Ramadan. And maybe even in the month of Ramadan, we didn't withhold from some of the filth that we were previously engaged in. And the door of repentance is still open. It is still open. We just need to ask Allah Azza wa Jal. However, Just today I came across a fatwa of Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahmatullahi alayh. Wahidan ta'keed that Allah Azza wa Jal, right, will not forgive those who have shahna and baghda between themselves, who have enmity and hatred towards one another. They will not be forgiven. And if you look at the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it falls in line with that. When he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, irhamu turhamu, ighfiru yughfar lakum. Have mercy on the people, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have mercy upon you. Forgive the people, and then Allah azza wa jalla will forgive you. Jawab al-shart. Wallahi, brothers and sisters, I'm not going to stand here and talk as if it is easy to pick up that phone call and to make that call, or to pick that phone up and to make that call. We have to bite our tongues and step on our ego. وَخَيْرُهُمَ الَّذِي يَبْدَعُ بِالسَّلَامِ. And the best of the two is the one who starts with the salam. And see how you feel as soon as you put that phone down. I've been collecting some of the acts that could really soften up an individual's heart. And you know what one of them is, my brothers and my sisters? It's al-afu. Especially when you initiate it. Even when you feel like you've been what? Wronged and oppressed. To just turn the page. To forgive and forget. Ibadah azeema jiddan. Hassan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayhi. Subhanallah. One of my favorite examples when it comes to this topic. We know how difficult it is to stand in the middle of the night. Right? And even more difficult to stand up in the last third. That's when the sleep gets more sweeter. And when we do wake up, and rightfully so, we have so many requests that we want to make to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's perfectly fine. Right? If we don't ask Allah azza wa jal, when will we ever ask Allah azza wa jal? Especially at this time. Right? And when he does end up waking up, you know the kind of dua he would make? Allahumma i'fu amman zalamani. Oh Allah, forgive those who oppress me. Imagine that. One day a man walked by and he heard Hassan al-Basri making this dua. In the morning, he went up to him and he said, Tamannaytu anni kuntu mimman zalamak. I began to wish that I was from those who wronged and oppressed you. He said, why do you do this? Why? Why do you keep making this dua? He said, فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْرَحَ فَأَجْرُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Whoever pardons and rectifies, then indeed his reward is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of those acts of worship where the reward has not been limited. The other is patience and also fasting, and the third is what? Al-afu, to pardon and to forgive. Which is not easy, and perhaps because of that, the reward has not been limited to anything. Another benefit that we can derive from this hadith that is extremely, extremely relevant, especially the end of the month of Ramadan. Ibn Rajab again in his kitab Lataif al-Ma'arif, he says, وَإِنَّمَا أَمَرَ بِسُؤَالِ الْعَفْوِ بَعْدَ الْإِجْتِهَادِ فِي الْأَعْمَالِ فِيهَا وَفِي لَيَالِ الْعَشْرِ لِأَنَّ الْعَارِفِينَ يَجْتَهِدُونَ فِي الْأَعْمَالِ ثُمَّ لَا يَرَوْنَ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا حَالًا وَلَا مَقَالًا فَيَرْجِعُونَ إِلَى سُؤَالِ الْعَفْوِ كَحَالِ الْمُذْنِبِ الْمُقَصِّرِ. This is the only reason why the Messenger told his wife Aisha to ask for forgiveness. You know why? Because the smart and intelligent individuals, they work hard, which she has been doing, for the first 20 days of Ramadan. And then after that, they don't see themselves having accomplished much. They see that there is room for improvement. They don't become deceived by their hard work and their righteous acts. And then what do they end up doing? فَيَرْجِعُونَ إِلَى سُؤَالِ الْعَفْوِ كَحَالِ الْمُذْنِبِ الْمُقَصِّرِ. They rush back and return back to Allah Azza wa Jal like a sinner. What does a smart sinner do, brothers and sisters? A smart sinner, when he commits a sin, he rushes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeks forgiveness. He's saying that this is the state of those who have been doing righteous acts. This is the characteristics of the awliya. Did we ever think about it like that? Sometimes we get deceived, right? We stood up on every night of the last 10 nights of Ramadan. And alhamdulillah, I might be now safe for another year. We might take a back seat. The people of the past, they would beg Allah Azza wa Jalla for forgiveness. On top of the righteousness that they would come with throughout the month of Ramadan. Ya Allah, forgive me. And he's been doing righteous deeds throughout the whole month. He's begging Allah Azza wa Jal the same way a sinner would beg Allah Azza wa Jal for forgiveness. Look at the level of piety. This is that what we should be aspiring for, especially at the end of the month of Ramadan. Not taking a back seat. Treating it as if we have some sort of guarantee to meet another Ramadan. And you know what's even more worse than that, my beloved brothers and sisters? And ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to forgive every single one of us. It might be that these nights we are planning all of the filth and the evil that we want to be engaging in on the night of Eid. On these blessed nights, we are planning maybe which hotel room to book out, which car to rent out, right? All the filth and the evil that we want to be doing on the night of Eid. Some of you guys may have seen some of these viral videos of us going to Southall Broadway. Huh? You also have a road on Birmingham called Ladypool Road, Edgware Road. Wallahi, it is as if you can see that the shayateen have been released. We know that the shayateen are locked up, right, in the month of Ramadan. On that night, you can see, as soon as it's announced that Eid is going to be the next day, that night, some Muslims are going absolutely out of control. And that's really painful. Really, really hard to see. Because you're destroying everything that you've been working hard for. Right? It's these nights that we might be planning, instead of now sitting down, as we mentioned, begging Allah for forgiveness the same way a sinner does. This is after having committed righteous acts. We're planning all the filth that we're going to be doing. And then on the way to the Eid Salah, some of especially our sisters, we might dress as if as well, some fancy dress party. Going to the masjid, going there to maybe what, impress? And some might be going to the masjid in order to maybe pick someone up, to pick a sister up in a haram way. It is easier to tear down a building than to build it. How long did this masjid take to build? And how quick would it be now if we brought a crane to tear it down? And to conclude, my beloved brothers and sisters, Hassan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayhi, sorry, Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he would come out on the night of Eid. You know what he would say? He alayhi shi'ri, hal min maqboolin fanuhannih. Is there anyone whose Ramadan has been accepted so we can congratulate him? وَهَلْ مِنْ مَحْرُومٍ فَنُعَزِّيهِ. And is there anyone who has been deprived of the reward so we can pay our condolences to? Who would you pay your ta'ziyah to or your ta'ziyah? You would pay it to someone's relative, right, who's passed away. Sahih. He wants to pay his condolences to the one who's maybe wasted this Ramadan. Because he's destroying and ruining everything on the night of Eid. If you left off certain acts and certain things in the month of Ramadan, the month of Ramadan is an institution, it's a madrasa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to become better people. This is why sometimes you hear, switch the TV off, it's Ramadan. Only for the month of Ramadan, brothers and sisters. Or stop listening to music, it's Ramadan. Only for the month of Ramadan. Do you think Allah Azza wa Jalla only wants you to pray in the night in the month of Ramadan and to read Quran in the month of Ramadan? La. He wants you to become trained in leaving these certain acts and to do certain acts of worship and then to continue this all the way up until you meet him. So you have a very high position in Jannah. This is what Ramadan is for. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ وَاجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. رَبَّنَا اصْرِفْ عَنَّا عَذَابَ جَهَنَّمَ إن عذابها كان غراما إنها ساءت مستقرا ومقاما. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك، أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت، أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وأقم الصلاة.